This is Golf with Jay Delsing. A two-time All-American at UCLA. A participant in nearly 700 PGA Tour events. 7 professional wins to his credit. Over 30 years of professional golf experience. A member of the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
Hey, good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. Pearlie, I've got a new gig. You introduce yourself. Let's go.
No. You gotta give me the accolades. I get one bone thrown here. Throw me my damn bone.
All right. I got my great dear friend John Pearlis with me, former All-American at UCLA. He's caddied in over 100 PGA Tour events, successful business person, sold the business, now a business coach. Pearl, a lover of the game. You wrote a book, so you're an author. Tell everybody how they can find out about you and your business. We never pitched that, and I should have.
Well, thank you, Jay, for that. Just look up the Momentum Builders. You'll find the website and some of the things that I've got going, and I appreciate that. Also on LinkedIn. So the Momentum Builders, or find me, John Pearlis, the Momentum Builders on LinkedIn. That'd be great, Jay.
And Pearl, it's your business is your life. Your life is your business.
Something like that. Yeah, exactly right.
We got to stay true to the show, and we got to screw a few things up here and there, correct?
It was close. I was getting you full accolades. It was close.
Right on. I definitely want to thank Ron Doherty and his team at Doherty Business Solutions as our title sponsor for the show. If you don't know what they do, just stick your head out the window in the community. They are so active. They have Access Point and so many good things. We really appreciate them in our community and in our community and for the support they give us. We segmented this golf show like a round of golf. The first segment is the On the Range segment, and that is brought to you by the Gateway section of the PGA. We want to thank the Gateway section, Allie and her team, for supporting us again this year. Everybody in the community is dying for this weather to get a little bit warmer. It's trying, and then it snaps back, and we get a cold snap. So we are going to be out on the golf course very soon, and we appreciate all of those people that are out there right now making our experience better with the Gateway section. Jeff Thornhill is our buddy at TaylorMade. Send me an email, jay@jdelsinggolf.com. Put the word balls in the subject matter somewhere, and you'll be entered into our drawing of a free dozen TP5 golf balls we give away each week. Thorny, thank you so much. Guys, you need some ammo? Send me an email. Pearly, I don't think you got any balls yet, do you?
Still waiting, Jay, but with bated breath and great hope in my heart. I hang in there for a long time. It'll happen. I know it will.
Isn't hope a good thing? It's a great thing. It is a great thing. You just keep going, Cupcake. We're going to get you some golf balls before you know it.
Low blow. You got one coming later in the show.
I know it. Bring it. You can do it now if you want.
No, you need a little time.
You need a little time to brew one up. I get it. Okay. I also want to tell you, I have the privilege of doing an additional podcast called Beyond the Fairways with 4-time Emmy Award winning broadcaster Dan McLaughlin. So this week, we dropped the Lee Trevino show on Wednesday. So wherever you get your pods, check it out. I could listen to Lee Trevino for hours. He's so fun and entertaining. All right, Pearl, the TPC just ended last week. That golf course, John, every single year there is some, and I hate the word unknown, but I'm going to use it for lack of a better term, that is in the mix and provides some sort of great story almost every single year.
Well, absolutely, Jay. It's the nature of that golf course. Don't you think Dye built it for that?
Oh, no, he absolutely did. And I mean, John, it's not one of the longer golf courses that we ever played, but it's so tricky and so demanding, both off the tee and for your second shots. It's a cool event, John. It really is spectacular viewing, in my opinion.
Well, and haven't they softened it up since the days when you, because you played the first events there, I believe, when they first started playing there from the original Sawgrass golf course. So isn't it softened up since the beginning of the effort?
Oh, without question, because it is brutal. It was impossible when they first started. It was absolutely impossible when it first started. We could not get the ball to stay anywhere anywhere around the hole on certain hole locations. When Jerry Pate won in 82, that was when he threw himself, Dean, our commissioner, Dean Beeman, and Pete Dye into the water. I said he should have held at least one of those guys down, and it probably should have been Pete for designing such a crazy golf course. But it's turned into just a real jewel in the PGA Tour's crown.
Well, I think the players respect it, but it seemed to me this year, maybe because of the weather, whatever, but it got a little bit on the edge. It got on some of the guys' nerves a little bit more than I think it has in the past.
Yeah. I think, John, that is what that golf course does more so than any other that you'll play. I mean, from a betting perspective, John, that is the widest open field of the year. The Masters is so heavily favored to the top 16. 80% of the time, John, the winner at Augusta comes from the top 16 in the world. On the contrary, this event at the Players is the most wide open and hard to predict. And it's all because of the course.
Well, the winner was fairly predictable as far as one of the top guys. But to your point, if you look beyond that, it was a bit of a mix mash. So it kind of proved itself again this year.
There were so many great storylines, John. So many great storylines. I mean, first of all, we got to take hats off to Scottie Scheffler. And I want to tell you, I said this when I was with Craig Kahn visiting on XM Radio this week. I will put Scottie Scheffler's compete level, John, up there with Tiger Woods. It's not as high, but this guy, he has no back off in him, and he has no give up in him.
And gosh dang it, show me where it should be coming from. There's nothing about that swing that you sit there and go, oh, that's awesome, that's pure. I mean, his feet are going everywhere. The turn is different and unique, and I swear when he comes through it, the ball's got to go high into the right, and it's a bloody BB down the middle.
And the other thing is his short game is
unbelievable.
His putting stroke is probably the most conventional looking part of his game to me. He's got some funny action with how open he keeps the wedge through the hitting area, almost to the point where it looks like the head's getting dragged through there from time to time, but it sure hasn't affected the quality of his shots. It's just absolutely spectacular. Plus, John, he's extremely calm and makes so many good decisions time in and time out. It's remarkable.
Well, he's got Ted Scott on the bag, so that if he does deviate at all, it's not going to be for long. It's such a heck of a team. I think they kind of have values and beliefs within their own lives, very similar. And it's quite a dynamic duel out there. They're absolutely awesome. It's building up, isn't it, for some of the greatest players to really make this the rest of this year quite a run.
Oh, no, it absolutely is. And, John, great call on our boy Ted Scott. He's been on the show two or three times. He's already committed to come on again. He's just a solid, solid human. And, man, does it make a difference. We talked about Kurt Kitayama and his caddy coming down the stretch and how solid the advice was that he got from his looper on 18 at Bay Hill, and the same day in and day out from Ted Scott, who is just committed and rock solid, nervous, but calm under pressure. Hats off to Teddy. Great for him and his family to lock another win in with Scotty.
Hey, Jay, do we have a minute to just touch base on Minwoo Lee?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead. You take the first shot.
Just what a talent, what an interesting player. Obviously, what a tough last day. You know, it's what nerves can do to you. He seemed to kind of change his game up, try to play a little bit more conservative with a bunch of less than drivers off the tees early, and kind of got behind the eight ball. Did a nice job of hanging there in there at the end and kind of accomplishing some of the main things he needed to accomplish to be able to play more tour events. Looked like a world beater possibly on Saturday. And then, as Jack Nicklaus says, you know, you own it. You might have it for a day or a couple shots, but you don't own it for much more than a day at best.
No, that's a great call. And, John, I mean, here's another one of these young South Korean men, a la Tom Kim, with swagger. John, this kid was feeling it, and I got to tell you, it was foot on the gas and let's go. Saturday was extremely impressive, and you knew the golf course is just fraught with super penalty payments when you get a little offline. And he had two sevens on the card on Sunday, which absolutely did him in. But still, a phenomenal finish. Best field of the year, in my opinion. And is this yet another one of the young South Korean men to come on over and say, hey, get out of the way, man. I got game. I'm going to play. He's not even, to your point with Min Woo, he's not even the best player in his family, John, with his sister on the LPGA Tour.
Well, it's fun. I think that's another young guy, young gun that's been good for quite a while. We're just starting to see him in the United States. So I think he's a lot of fun. He absolutely pounds it for a little guy. He pounds it for a big guy, for the record. But just a lot of cool things. And Jay kind of almost brought the stinger back. You know, he stood up there a couple times with those irons off the tee, and I don't know what the number is, 240, 250, 260, ripping irons down off the tee down those fairways, including number 18. That's impressive stuff. We haven't seen some of that iron play since back in Tiger Stinger days.
No, absolutely. And you know, John, that golf course, it just brings out, like, just get it in play sort of mentality. And I think, John, when you look at Scott Fawcett and Decade Golf and that whole formula, the TPC is an outlier, John. It's not go bang it up there as far as you can, because you're going to wind up paying big penalties if you miss. And that's not typically the case on the PGA Tour these days.
Well, I think that might be one of the places where it kind of rocks their confidence and kind of throws them off a little bit compared to most of the other golf courses. It'd be a great question to ask of Decade Golf to kind of explain where TPC Sawgrass might be a bit of an outlier. That'd be a great question to ask.
Absolutely. Well, I sat down this week with my great friend, master professional Terry Grosch. So we've got an interview coming up with Terry Grosch. He is one of only 356 men and women in this country that have attained that master professional level. Great conversation with him. He talks about his round with Jack Nicklaus and things like that. So that's coming up on the front and back nine. I'm going to tip my cap. And as always, Colin Burnt and the Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood sponsoring the tip of the cap segment. 314-966-0303 is Colin's number. And I am tipping my cap this week to my friends at 20 Minutes to Fitness, Casey, Liz, Stephanie, Angela, and the rest of the team, along with all of our fitness instructors, the gym rats, the personal coaches, the trainers, all of them. Thank you for helping us stay in shape during this long winter. And it is going to pay off for those of us that stayed in shape when we are ready to hit the links with a vengeance, man. I'm tipping my cap to those folks. I'm tipping my cap to those listeners that stayed in shape and are chomping at the bit like we are, John, to get out on the golf course. Thanks to Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood, 314-966-0303, for sponsoring the tip of the cap. That's going to wrap up the On the Range segment. But don't go anywhere. We got Terry Grosch on the front nine. It's Golf with Jay Delsing.
That was On the Range with Jay Delsing. For news on the latest golf equipment tips and to ask Jay a question, log on to jdelsinggolf.com. Coming up, it's the front nine on Golf with Jay Delsing.
I love having Doherty Business Solutions as the title sponsor of the Golf with Jay Delsing show. You already know that they're the number one largest IT consulting firm and the largest software developer in the St. Louis region. You also know that there are over 2,500 Doherty teammates in 30 states and 3 countries around the world. But what you may not be aware of is what Doherty Business Solutions does right here in our own community. They were the sponsor for the first Advocate PGA event at Glen Echo this past September. Doherty Business Solutions was also a presenting sponsor of the Ascension Charity Classic. They have created Access Point, which builds diversity in the IT workforce. This is a game changer in our community. Literally, hundreds of mostly young African-American women are getting $50,000 to $60,000 per year jobs right out of high school, and that training begins in high school. Doherty Business Solutions believes talent is equally distributed, but access to that opportunity is not. Ron Doherty, our founder at Doherty Business Solutions, is the chair of the 2023 Heart Ball, supporting the local American Heart Association Foundation. These are just a few examples of the positive things Doherty Business Solutions is doing right now in our community.
The Legends of Golf return to St. Louis in 2023. You won't want to miss one of the strongest fields in golf. Ernie Els, Steve Stricker, Bernard Langer, John Daly, and many more when they compete for the 2023 Ascension Charity Classic title September 5th through the 10th at historic Norwood Hills Country Club. All proceeds benefit area charities. Together, we were able to donate over $1 million to those most in need last year. Visit AscensionCharityClassic.com.
Hi, this is Peter Jacobson, and you're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing.
Hey, this is Jay Delsing for SSM Health Physical Therapy. Our golf program has the same screening techniques and technology as the pros on the PGA Tour use. SSM Health Physical Therapy has the Titleist Performance Institute-trained physical therapist that can perform the TPI screening on you, as well as use a K-Vest 3D motion capture system. Proper posture, alignment, etc. can help you keep your game right down the middle. We have 80 locations in the St. Louis area. Call 800-518-1626 or visit them on the web at ssmphysicaltherapy.com. Your therapy, our passion.
This is the Front Nine on Golf with Jay Delsing. The Front Nine is presented by the Ascension Charity Classic, September 5th through the 10th at Norwood Hills Country Club. Find out more at AscensionCharityClassic.com.
Good morning. I am sitting down with, I don't even want to think how long we've known each other. This is the great Terry Gross, master PGA professional, four-time teacher of the year in the Gateway section. Gosh, the list goes on. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it.
We're wrapping up our series on teachers, and I'm just so honored to have you kind of put a bow on this, in my opinion, best teacher around here by a long shot. You've helped me, I don't know how many times with my career, with my game. We were just reminiscing off air about our time at Cherry Hills, which is a beautiful subdivision now.
Oh, it is. I know, and that range was a hellhole.
Oh man, it was hot.
Hot,
and there was like a bad lagoon or something, like a
that was the club sewage.
yeah, it was a little sweaty. But so Terry, first of all, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing now.
I retired about close 7 years ago now. And my good friend Mike Fromuth and Mike Cummings kind of were instrumental in talking me into coming to teach at Golf Tech. And so I've been teaching at Golf Tech for the last 7 years. And honestly, I've enjoyed the heck out of it because there was no way I was going to retire. And I meet so many new people and make so many new friends that and I'll teach you, Katie, I said, she's just going to wheel me out to the range and leave me and hope to remember to come and pick me up.
And maybe she will, maybe she won't.
Maybe she won't. You know, more than likely, she won't. So.
So, Terry, just a fantastic career that's been well over 40 years, a master professional. Tell folks what that looks like. How does someone become a master?
Well, you know, when I finally realized any playing aspirations, you know how life kind of gets in the way of things like that, and I was going to be a club pro, which was fine. Then I, you know, started because of people I came in contact with, like Gary Wire and doing the teaching stuff and then merchandising. It's like, well, if I'm going to be a club pro, I probably should try to seek the highest affiliation that they have. I probably should learn to do everything as much as possible. So that was just part of it. And at that time, when I did become a master professional, it was like for 6 years you had to have like double the recertification points. You had to attend so many PGA workshops, that type of thing, and then write a 5,000-word essay. And so that was, you know, all part of it. And Jerry Ray, the late Jerry Ray, was, you know, very instrumental in helping me, you know, with the essay because he was already a master golf professional. So luckily, my draft got through first time.
Oh, that's big.
That was totally because of his help, because many others, you know, had to resubmit many times.
Terry, there's only 356 master professionals in the world.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
I can, because I looked it up. And I mean, so it's a distinction. It's a big-time distinction, and it's not, I don't know, there's just not a bunch of you guys laying around is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully I'll be around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So take us back. Who would you say, obviously you played the game at a super high level. Who was instrumental in getting you started in the game? And then I know you've been hanging around with great teachers.
You know, honestly, I honestly just backed into it. So my senior year of high school, I played on the baseball team, and the coach came to me and said that he was going to start a junior at second base, that I'd play a lot. But if I wanted to play another sport, I'd play golf a couple of times with my dad. Didn't even really have clubs at the time, but I went out for the golf team. And when I was in high school, I mean, if you could kind of play golf at all, you were on the team. And, you know, honestly, and then in college, I went to Umpsa. I mean, I continued to play a little golf, and, you know, it was always like the toughest thing that I'd ever done. Did most of my playing when I was in the Navy, and I played on the Navy golf team where I was, you know, stationed. And then I just really got the bug. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, this is, and then when I came home from the Navy, I was probably going to head back out to California, because I was stationed, you know, basically in San Francisco, Oakland, Alameda area, and a neighbor, okay, who was related to Tony Hinchel, who was the pro at, you know, Westboro for so long, said that Phil Hewitt needed an assistant out of Cherry Hills. And I went out and applied for the job, and that was it. And then I'd been there with that same club then for, you know, close to 30 years.
The Cherry Hills saga, you know, melds into St. Albans, which is beautiful. And that's kind of where we went over together in 92, I think, was that transition year. And forgot about your Navy service. I appreciate you serving. We've got Dan Rooney coming on the show next week, and, you know, with Folds of Honor, and the military is just fantastic. But So Terry, you started out. How did you get to be what makes, in your opinion, a great teacher?
Learning many different ways to say the same thing, and working with the individual. I mean, not, you know, quote unquote, having a method that you try to force on everybody. I mean, you probably know that as well, you know, having spent so much time with me. But you know, I have basic ideas of basic concepts of things that, you know, players need to do, but how they derive them, how they feel them is totally personal. And then, you know, use a lot of analogies, a lot of different things, trying to find out if they played any previous sports, you know, how they relate to stuff. You know, the interesting thing is at Golf Tech, I've run across people who have never played a sport in their life, who have never done anything. So, you know, that presents, you know, a different challenge of, okay, how do we approach this? You know, how do I get this individual to start having some semblance and some feel of swinging a golf club?
Yeah, it helps a little bit to have some hand-eye and some athletic ability, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Well, I think that gets lost sometimes with folks because they think because the pace of the game is generally slower than anything else they've ever done, that they don't see it as a sport. But, man, it is a sport, and it's a difficult one.
I think golf hooks people because once they start playing a little bit, they start understanding how difficult it is, which is also one of the reasons people quit playing right away, because of its difficulty. But once you get hooked, you realize at any level, okay, it's so much mental. And I don't ever do any lessons without discussing course management type things, mental type things, because whether people think they're going through them or not, we're all going through the same stuff. Nobody thinks any differently. I think my biggest in 1982, when I got to play with Jack Nicklaus, he told me three things that just burst my bubble. Okay, number one, in the worst that every swing felt different, even though he was trying to do the same concept, and I was just like, you know, my jaws dropping. And you know, to myself. Number two, he was a nervous wreck on the first five or six holes of every hole, every event, and accepted that, just knew that that was going to be it. Number three was, you just never get it. You're never going to own it. He goes, you borrow it for a while, you know, but he's like, the golf gods will jump right up, and if you've never shanked, you'll shank again, you'll chunk it again, you'll do things that you did when you were a beginner, you know, but you just never have it. So every swing feels different.
Yeah, it's without question the most humbling experience you can, I mean, it just never leaves you. That's so interesting that even the great Jack Nicklaus would talk about being a nervous wreck on the first four or five holes because I got to play with him too, and man, he really covered it up well.
Oh, and the other one was his first thought was always negative, and then he had to refocus. Negative meaning, you know, you start seeing out of bounds, you start seeing bunkers,
boy,
you start seeing trees,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And so, you know, everybody, and that's just kind of the way we're brought up. One of the sports psychologists I brought into Cherry Hills years ago, you know, had people sit down and say, okay, when you got back a test paper, did they tell you how many you got right or how many you got wrong?
Yeah, that's
and
interesting,
it was always
isn't
wrong.
It? You know, Terry, also when you're raising kids, and I know you and Katie have three and grandkids now, I'm sure, I think there's, what, seven no's to every yes, you know, when you're raising your kids, because they're always getting into, you know, no, don't do that, no. And so we get bombarded with the negative, and that negative gets reinforced, and it's almost like you have to unlearn it.
Well, and that's the great thing about golf and to me about coaching. I mean, you know, to me all coaching is trying to help somebody shortcut the learning process. One way or the other, you know, however you can help them, and that's a great thing. But realizing that we're all thinking the same stuff, that we're all having the same thoughts. I mean, people find this hard to believe because they see guys on TV and they don't think that they think anywhere near the same way they do. And it's like, oh, yeah. Well, you know, nerves and pain you can't see. So somebody can be a nervous wreck and it doesn't necessarily show, or, you know, we can be in severe pain and it doesn't show. But trust me, as well, you know, they're feeling those emotions.
I remember listening when I was playing. I was in the locker room. I think we were playing at the Honda, and Fred Couples was winning the event, and they got him on the, you know, they got him on the mic after, and they asked him about a shot that he had hit on the back nine that wasn't very good, which is another negative reinforcement. That and he said, well, I was really nervous. And the guy stopped in his tracks. I forget who was doing the, I don't know, maybe it was Roger Maltby, and stopped in his tracks and said, you're nervous? And he's like, oh, I'm really nervous. And, you know, Fred doesn't look like he's nervous. He looks like he's, you know, in a lounge chair somewhere.
Right.
But that's just how it presents for him.
Yeah, but it's just the nature of the game. And, I mean, it's just the nature of life. I mean, we all get nervous doing stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do. And I mean, the one thing that I think that's really neat to be able to tell folks is that just because your hands might be shaking a little, the putts can still go in. And you can, it's amazing how many putts I've made where I felt like I could barely keep, my hands are barely holding on to the putter.
Well, on that same day that, you know, I got to play with Nicklaus, you know, in the first tee, I mean, I'd never been so nervous in any golf term or anything I ever played with because I was playing with Jack. I honestly don't even know how I hit the ball, you know, because I felt like, you know, that I looked like I was shaking.
Sure.
Because I was.
I can remember when I got to play with Arnold Palmer, and I got into the first tee, and I was so overwhelmed with adrenaline and anxiousness and nervousness and things like that. So, all right, Terry, you got time for another segment?
Absolutely.
Well, that's going to wrap up the first half of our interview with Terry Grosch, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more. This is Golf with Jay Delson.
That was The Front Nine, presented by the Ascension Charity Classic. Coming up, it's The Back Nine and more of golf with Jay Delson.
The official vehicle provider of the Golf with Jay Delson show is the Dean Team. The Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood. They provide me, Pearlie, and our families with all of our cars. The reason we went with the Dean Team is because we could trust them. We knew at the Dean Team they were going to take care of us, and they have. They made the entire car buying experience so simple. It was more than just simply selling us a vehicle. The Dean Team made our car buying experience seamless and enjoyable throughout that entire process. The Dean Team has the complete car buying steps done before you head into their showroom. They're ready to answer all your questions and set your mind at ease when buying a vehicle. At the Dean Team, they offer new, pre-owned, and all the services included with your Dean Team purchase. When you're with the Dean Team, they become lifelong friends. The Dean Team Volkswagen of Kirkwood, located at Manchester Road in Kirkwood. The Dean Team.
The Legends of Golf return to St. Louis in 2023. You won't want to miss one of the strongest fields in golf. Ernie Els, Steve Stricker, Bernard Langer, John Daly, and many more when they compete for the 2023 Ascension Charity Classic title, September 5th through the 10th at historic Norwood Hills Country Club. All proceeds benefit area charities. Together, we were able to donate over $1 million to those most in need last year. Visit AscensionCharityClassic.com.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing. To connect with Jay, log on to jdelsinggolf.com. You'll see the latest in equipment, find the latest innovations in golf, and get tips from a PGA professional. That's jdelsinggolf.com.
This is Jay Delsing. Did you know that Marcone is the largest authorized appliance parts distributor in the world? That's right, the largest in the world. Did you know that Marcone is based right here in our backyard of St. Louis, Missouri? While that's pretty impressive, what's more impressive is the way that they give back to the St. Louis community and our region. CEO Jim Sowers has donated service dogs to the wounded servicemen and women of our armed forces. Suites at St. Louis Blues games have been donated and auctioned off, in which all proceeds were given to the Backstoppers. Then there was the Marcone Police and Firefighters viewing deck at the Ascension Charity Classic this past year. It was a huge success, so much so that it's being implemented on other tour stops around on the PGA Tour. To Jim Sowers and his incredible team at Marcone, we want to say thank you. Thank you, Marcone, a proud sponsor of the Golf with Jay Delsing Show.
This is the Back Nine on Golf with Jay Delsing. The Back Nine is presented by Pro-Am Golf, located in Brentwood. See what Pro-Am Golf can do for you.
Hey, this is Jay, and I'm back with Terry Grosch. Terry, some of the things I want to talk in this segment about are what we just talked about off air. So the Jack Nicklaus story, I still want to kick that around with you a little bit. It's amazing that he dealt with the nerves.
Well, it's just like, we're human. Human emotion. Everybody has the same emotions, and this is every golfer, one way or the other. But he said that once he got the negative in there, then he tried to just get refocused on a landing area where he wanted the ball theoretically to finish. And he always saw it, because I asked him, I said, you're known for how you visualize. How did you learn to do that? And he goes, I couldn't tell you. I've just always done it. I mean, some things with people just happen. Other people have to try to make them happen. I myself, have to virtually force myself to visualize a shot, to do it.
Sure.
And to stay focused is the hardest thing, because you can do that a shot. Can you do it two? I mean, can you do it for a round? That's really, really, really difficult.
It is. And when you think about this, folks, what we're talking about is this is really the mental side of the game. And when you can throw something in your mind that gives you something to try to duplicate, for the reason you're trying to visualize it is to give you that positive reinforcement to let you see it before it happens. And that's really powerful.
Well, yeah. And then it helps develop a routine where theoretically, your last look is at the target and you go. And I mean, these are things you try to impart. I try to impart to everybody one way or the other. But I mean, these are just playing things. You learn to deal with your emotions. You learn to find a way to let the swing happen, so to speak. I'm big into what Peter with Costas. I mean, rehearse and repeat, feel the swing, repeat it. So we eliminate some thought.
What was the most memorable shot Jack hit? When I got to play with, unfortunately, when I got to play with both of those guys, they were kind of definitely past their prime with Arnold and Jack, but something had to stick out in your mind
the first thing, I mean, we walk up on the range and there's Gardner Dickinson and Jack Rout. Jack's hitting balls flat footed with the outside of his feet in the air, and they're holding the grip end of a club against the side of his head. And he was hitting 3 irons at the time. And I'm sure every one of my students has heard this story one way or the other. But, this is 1982, and he's hitting 3 irons higher than I'd ever hit a 7 iron. and he's never taken his feet off the ground. And I had honestly never seen that drill before or did that way. And it's just like, oh, my God. I mean, and he's just ripping. He had a shagger out there. Okay, it wasn't like, you know, had some kid out there with a baseball glove shagging like all the, you know, guys used to do. But, you know, that was kind of amazing to me. I don't know that there was anything that really stood out because we played nine holes first, and then he'd come in and practice for a while, and then we'd be back out for the other nine. But his routine at that time was to practice for an hour, hour and a half, go out and play six holes maybe, come back in and work on whatever wasn't working on the golf course, and then go do short game stuff. But this was kind of a, at that time, a daily routine that he was doing.
So he was hitting balls barefoot.
No, not barefoot, flat-footed.
Flat-footed.
Oh. Flat-footed. He would turn the outside of his feet in the air and just stay on the insides and hit them totally flat-footed. When you do that, you try it yourself, you can imagine the rotation is created. I mean, you create a lot of power without thinking about it because your body is rotating.
The way that the young guys play the game now, and the height and the power and things like that, the thing that people tell me about Jack when he first got on the PGA Tour was that he was so powerful, so much longer than anybody else.
Well, look at those old swings. I mean, he had such a long arc. You know, he had such a huge turn. You know, kind of like Bubba-esque with his foot leaving the ground, which a lot of the older guys did. I think as he got older, that foot moved a lot less. But, yeah, I mean, you have those long arcs. I mean, look at Scottie Scheffler, okay? Look at how long that arc is. So it looks like effortless power, kind of like you. I mean, you know, you always had an effortless-looking swing, but with your height and with the length of your arc, you just generated a lot more club head speed without effort.
It seemed like it was a lot of effort, but I'm glad it didn't look like that.
Isn't it the way, you know, as I tell people, so even when I do a lot of demonstrating because you have to do stuff like that, they always go, look, oh, you just swing so smooth, and I'm feeling myself. It's like, I'm going at this so hard, you can't even believe it. I'm, you know, lucky to stand up. I'm glad it looks smooth,
yeah.
But I told him, I said, I don't feel smooth. I feel like I'm pretty aggressive, but, if you think it's smooth, that's good.
It is, right, right. Well, it takes smooth, but it's interesting, isn't it? Because I've told people, you know, they're like, oh, Ernie Els isn't going at it hard. I'm like, oh, he's killing it. It's just he has that beautiful rhythm.
Freddie's going at it hard.
Hard, trying to hit as hard as he can. I mean, for the most part, maybe not, you know, I'd say most tour players do have that additional gear where we can go and, you know, try to get an extra, but it doesn't always go straight either.
Well, but whose does?
Right.
You know, and golf's not about straight. Golf's about how good you are from 70 yards in.
Right.
I mean, that's like, tell people, I mean, all hitting the ball better does is give you a better opportunity, but hitting a fairway doesn't mean you're going to hit a green. Hitting a green doesn't mean you're going to make a putt. I mean, this is about putting the lowest number on the cards that you can with whatever you got.
And it truly is a game, right, Terry? I mean, you're going to have some balls go left and right on you. I mean, just play it as you would if you were more like a 10-year-old for the first time in the backyard where, you know, someone said this to me, and I thought it was a great analogy. Could you imagine when we were learning to walk if we got frustrated, pissed off, and said, forget it, I'm not going to try to walk anymore because I've fallen three times? You know, when you're a little kid, you fall 75 times and you get right back up. You don't think twice about it.
Right. Well, you know, you and I learned from the green out.
Yeah.
Okay. Most people anymore are learning from the tee in, which is difficult because they're consumed with wanting to hit the ball better before they learn to score. Try to encourage them one way or the other. It's like, man, you need to work on your putting, chipping, pit, you know, all the short game stuff, because all that's going to happen is you're going to feel like you've got a much better opportunity to score, but you're shooting the same score because you still can't putt, chip, pitch, do any of the things that actually cause you to score.
Yeah, when you think about it, when we get closer to the green and get closer to the hole, I mean, we're taking maybe a 35 or 40-yard wide fairway, and that's generally our target. And then you take a green that's, you know, 5,000-6,000 square foot green, and then you're trying to putt into a 4-and-some-odd-inch hole.
Right.
So really? The target's gotten so much narrower.
And that little putt counts as much as that 300-yard drive.
It really does, and it's absolutely infuriating sometimes. But my dad used to tell me, Terry, about the hardest thing about baseball was a round bat hitting a round ball. And I thought, well, and we're putting a round ball into a round hole.
Right.
You get a lot of weird things that happen.
And you get speed on greens like they had over the weekend, and it starts frightening you when the ball gets thrown out farther than the putt you had. You know, when they get that speed, it's scary.
Terry, when you look at a guy like Scottie Scheffler's swing, you know, he's the hottest, John Rahm as well, but Scottie Scheffler, first of all, the thing that sticks out in my mind is not his swing, it's his level of compete. This is a guy that just scores and scores and competes and doesn't give up on anything.
Well, look at his short game. I mean, what he pitch in for eagle twice, or at least eagle once and birdie once. I mean, you know, his short game carried. I mean, his short game's got to carry you. You're not going to be a champion without a good short game.
Well, you were mentioning it off air. I mean, the average tour player hits, you know, less than 9 fairways around.
Right, 8 out of 14. I mean, they're barely over 50% of the fairways.
Right.
Some more, some less, but I mean,
right.
Think of the rounds. I always tell people that Tiger and Phil played where they hit 3 or 4 fairways and shoot 68 or 69.
I'm visiting with Terry Grosch. This is the Golf with Jay Delsing show. We are just talking golf, and Terry's a master PGA professional, 4-time Teacher of the Year in a Gateway section. And you're right, Terry, the two best players in the last 25 years on tour were by far and away the worst drivers of the ball for the quality of player they were.
Right. Well, John Rahm down at Phoenix, you know, he hit 22 out of 56 fairways in one. But twice on Saturday, I was pointing out to people, we just happened to be standing up there watching TV, he had bad tee shots, he had to punch out to the fairway, got it up and down from 150 yards. Now, it wasn't like he hit gimme, but I mean, you think like 10, 12-foot putts for par.
Right.
And it's like the only thing the scorecard knew was a 4.
And, the other thing, Terry, when you break down John Rahm's rounds, he was probably – 50 for 50 in putts inside of 8 feet that week, too.
Well, it's surprising how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, right. So just to reiterate your point, when you see a guy like Scott, I wanted to get back to Scottie Scheffler because he's one of the guys that doesn't have the typical tour player swing, you know, where everybody kind of looks the same. His motion is odd, especially going through the ball. I've never seen anybody kind of hold on to the face, especially with his shorter stuff, almost as pronounced, and it looks like he's almost dragging that head through there, which is unusual.
You know, it's probably just something he got used to doing. I mean, it's obviously still releasing. He couldn't hit it as far as he's hitting it. It's just people release in different ways, and they have forever since golf began. So, I mean, there seems to be a big push on, body rotation and holding the club face, and it's like, well, I haven't seen too many champions that drastically hold it. Most of the time it's released. You look at old pictures of Hogan, who they always talk about, this supination. I get videos all over my phone of Hogan, and that thing released so quick and came down his back. So, I mean, you stop a picture anywhere you want to validate whatever you want to tell people.
Right. I got a kick out of – I remember a great story about Ben Hogan. Legend was this guy that just worked and dig it out of the dirt and all that. And then the videos come out, Terry, and they said, Mr. Hogan, we now have video. Do you want to see what your swing looks like? And he said, no. And they said, no, all this hard work. And he said, I don't want to see that I'm not doing what it feels like I'm doing. Tremendous amount of wisdom in there, T.
There's no question. I mean, we tell people many times that, at Golf Tech, it's just like, don't put on the video. Just look at the ball flight. Just try to feel, what you're trying to do, because people get anal about, oh, I need to be, this, or I need to be that, or this doesn't look good. And I look at them and go, okay, you see the ball flight there? You just hit it solid. It's almost right on the line. If you were outside, would you be saying, oh, my swing doesn't look good, or would you think you hit a good shot?
We get cut up on style points. Oh, it's really
no question.
I can remember when I played my best, I would literally be on the tee reminding myself, just go play it wherever it goes.
What else are you going to do? That's it. So you hit it, go chase it, hit it again.
I think to contrast that, when I was bad, I was analyzing too much. You know what I mean? When I'd hit that bad swing, I was it's not that I wouldn't kind of replay what I did and how I wanted to do it, but it was almost like, oh man, just it is what it is. It's over there. I used to have this saying, Terry, and shoot, it might have been developed with you, where it's like, it's fine. Everything's fine. It's fine. It's over there. I didn't want to hit it left of the green. I didn't want to hit it over there, but it's just fine.
And you just have to find a way to score.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And those were the more gratifying rounds anyway. So the ones where I hit it better but didn't score, what the hell? 71 beats 72 every day of the week.
I tell people, you know, in competition, I think the biggest compliment I ever got was, it didn't look like you played that well.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, well, thank you. That means I played golf, you know.
Right.
So I didn't necessarily hit every fairway and hit every green, but I scored.
Man, just being able to sit with you, it just reiterates your attitude and you know, attitude in this game. And life is really everything.
No question. Yeah. I mean, I learned years ago, being positive was a choice. I didn't really care for negative. So it's like, you know what? I mean, I don't like being negative.
Do you get to play much anymore?
Do playing lessons. I mean, you know, they're 5 days a week, you know, and then the days off, there's always family stuff going on and, you know, different issues. So
how many grandkids now?
Just one.
One grand.
Little Gwynnie, 15 months old.
That's great. That's great. So last thing I have for you, if you're listening to the show and you want to get involved, but you've been just a little afraid, intimidated, or for whatever reason you've stayed away, what would you tell somebody?
Obviously, if you don't try, you're not going to get better. And everybody's embarrassed, and that's, you know, one of the things you try to help them get over. It's just like you stand on the first tee, just like in a tournament, and you think everybody's judging you or judging your swing or judging you as a person by how you golf. And they're looking at you with fright because they know they're going to be up there next. So they're not really paying any attention. You know, I learned that years ago going through that. It's just like, you know, I'm not paying attention to anybody. I'm kind of looking at them, but it doesn't matter to me what they do. They could miss it.
Right.
It has no effect on me.
I can remember a counselor telling me once, honey, people aren't thinking about you nearly as much as you think they
yeah,
are.
That's right.
Really true.
Hey, before we quit, do you remember, if we got a second.
For sure.
You remember Eddie Griffiths was the first person that I ever got a lesson from.
Same
and
with
I know
me.
Well, I know. And we used to talk about that. And it was like his old triangle concept. Sometimes it would work, and other times I'd shank the heck out of the ball because it was so far behind me. But it was just, I don't know. You know, knowing I was coming to see you, it's just like all some of these old memories that are up in this cobweb, you know, occasionally creep out.
the great Ed Griffiths, he took the lesson I got. I was 10-fingered. To say it was a baseball grip wasn't neat, would be disrespecting baseball. But he put my hands on the club correctly, and I remember sitting on the range at Norwood with tears in my eyes for the first 5 hours because everything I hit was a little pop-up to the right. Mm-hmm. It was just this little fluffy little cut because I had the club face so shut before, and now it was getting more square. Gosh, man, Ed Griffiths was a tough man and a – had a lot of knowledge.
Well, I only took the one lesson from him, so that was, you know,
I worked
all I
over
ever had.
I caddied, that's where I began caddying at Norwood, and he was the head pro there until Dick Shaper came over. But Terry, thanks so much for joining me, visiting with me today. One of the great guys, and one of the, when you think about the Dick Shapers of the world, the Terry Groshas are always up there. Thanks for all you've done for the game, and you're still doing it. It's a game of a lifetime.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks. I'm just happy that I keep waking up and can still do it.
Right on.
This has been The Back Nine, presented by Pro-Am Golf. We'll make the turn into the clubhouse and head into the 19th hole. That's next on Golf with Jay Delsing.
This is Jay Delsing, and if you're like me, you're always looking for the best ways to improve your game. That means getting the best, most up-to-date equipment you can find in golf. You can find that equipment at Pro-Am Golf. Pro-Am Golf is located in Brentwood, and since Pro-Am Golf opened in 1975, they have been more than just selling golf equipment. Pro-Am Golf is dedicated to helping build your game inside and out. Pro-Am Golf can custom fit all your clubs specifically to your build. They offer private one-on-one lessons, and they carry golf gear for every part of your game. That means clubs, balls, shoes, apparel, accessories from all the major brands. I get asked all the time by golfers, where should I go get fitted for clubs? And I tell everyone to head to Pro-Am Golf. They're the best in town. And make sure you ask for CJ. That's Pro-Am Golf. Visit ProAmGolfUSA.com. That's ProAmGolfUSA.com. Powers Insurance and Risk Management combines 200 years of experience and cutting-edge products to deliver exceptional service, value, and clarity to their clients. Powers Insurance will deliver the highest quality property and casualty insurance programs and strategic planning consultation services in the industry. Insurance can be overwhelming and confusing. it can be tough to understand. Powers Insurance simplifies it for you and your business. Powers Insurance and Risk Management will partner with you by providing ongoing assistance, consultation, and service that will help you control your insurance expenses and your workplace safety. Find out how Powers Insurance can help you. Visit powersinsurance.com. That's powersinsurance.com.
Hello, friends. This is Jim Nance, and you are listening to Golf with my friend, Jay Delson.
Hey, this is Jay Delsing for SSM Health Physical Therapy. Our golf program has the same screening techniques and technology as the pros on the PGA Tour use. SSM Health Physical Therapy has the Titleist Performance Institute trained physical therapist that can perform the TPI screening on you, as well as use a K-Vest 3D motion capture system. Proper posture, alignment, etc. can help you keep your game right down the middle. We have 80 locations in the St. Louis area. Call 800-518-1626 or visit them on the web at ssmphysicaltherapy.com. Your therapy, our passion. Hey, do you like wine? Have you heard about the hottest new wine bar in St. Louis? It's called Wild Crush Wine Bar, and it's located in Town and Country on Clayton Road, just behind the Straub's. Have you ever experienced self-dispensing wine machines? Well, they are here. The only place in St. Louis and most of Missouri that you'll find them, and it's at Wild Crush. You can choose your size of pour, and Wild Crush will pour the freshest wine in the area for you. The organic argon gas system used at Wild Crush keeps this wine pristinely fresh for up to 60 days. So if you're tired of drinking wine that's been open for a few days, come into Wild Crush for the best and freshest wine selection in the area. Go to wildcrushstl.com and come have one with us.
This is Golf with Jay Delsing, and let's head to the 19th hole.
Hey, we're back. Jay here. John's there, and we're headed to the 19th hole on Golf with Jay Delsing. As always, this show is brought to you by Darty Business Solutions. We appreciate Ron and his entire team for supporting the show. John, Terry Gross, I got to say, the stuff that he talked about Jack Nicklaus in the three major quotes, just fascinating, John, to know that Jack Nicklaus is like everybody else and super nervous in the first four or five holes on almost every round he plays.
You know, how can we get that in our heads that the superstars are still human? They're just dealing with some of the, I don't know, nerves, ghosts, demons, apparently a little bit better than the rest of us.
John, I think that's a good point, isn't it? It's not that they don't have them. It's that they deal with them better. And John, one of the things that is crucial for the listeners to think about in a different way to think about their game, because Terry had some great comments about course management and things like that, is it's not if your game's going to come off the rails. It's when it does, how do I get myself back on quicker? John, that's huge. When you were caddying for me, we talked about that all the time.
Well, I think that's what we saw on TPC, Jay. I said, you know, if there's a difference, if I tried to hold out a difference between Scottie Scheffler and the other kind of also-rans, he handled that hitting into the lake on Saturday better than Minwoo Lee handled hitting into the trees or into the water. He didn't compound his mistakes because he stayed calm. You know, that's not even a golf swing, right? That's just a way to look at things, a way to handle that. When things don't go the right way, you get a bad bounce or just hit a bad shot. So that's another play in the bag that isn't have anything to do with the swing.
John, and you know what's interesting, and I know this for a fact, is that these players, they're prepared mentally for that stuff. When something goes haywire, you know as well as I do, you run hot, adrenaline is pushing through your system, and you've got to make a good decision in not very much time, John.
Well, exactly, and it's easier said than done. I think they all try to do it. My point is Scottie Scheffler just seems to do it better.
He does, and his compete level is off the rails, man, off the charts. It's just really, really impressive. Speaking of impressive, Tom Hoge, what a great story. Wasn't sure if he's going to make the cut or not. Books a flight out on Friday because he opens with 78, follows with 68, makes the cut on the nose, turns around and authors a little 62 on Saturday, new course record, to piss off our buddy Colton Oast, who I thought was just fantastic, when he just said it like it is. I'm really mad that my course record went down, because most people are more gracious than that, Pearl. And I think he said what most everybody feels like.
He's like the rest of us. There's not too much he's hanging on to, and he just lost one of them.
Absolutely. And then, John, I think he finishes with 71 on Sunday to finish T3rd, make $1.5 million for the week, John, and flew coach on the way home.
You know, Jay, I'm glad you brought him up. He's my pick to win something big, and I'm thinking it might even be a U.S. Open. He's such a solid ball striker. He's such a solid player kind of across the board, and as we've seen multiple times, he can go deep. But what tournament do you think that really fits him relative to the big events, Jay?
Yeah, that's a good call, Pearl. You're right, he is really a good ball hitter, and especially a short iron player. And I like what you said. If I had to choose any, it would be the U.S. Open, because he's a gutsy player. He's pretty fearless. He's been out on tour long enough now, John, where he's starting to come into his own. He's got a strong belief. He's won a couple events. So I like it. I mean, to win a U.S. Open, you almost need the stars to align as well. But to your point, it would not surprise me to see him challenging, and I would like to see it.
Well, you got to be a grinder too, I think, to be out there. You've got to have, you got to have it all, obviously. And I just see this guy as one of the guys he's kind of on the radar, but not really. You know, you throw out the top 10 names, you're not going to throw his name out there normally. And I just really like the guy's game and his demeanor and everything else. It's nothing flashy. I think he hits it further than you might think watching that swing. And yeah, from inside, whatever, the proverbial 150, he's pretty bloody awesome.
You know, John, he's one of those guys that just goes about his business, and you look at his numbers and you go, oh, you know, he's in top 30 again. Oh, he's, you know, made $5 million.
Exactly.
He's not flashy, but he just gets it done. And you know as well as I that if you're keeping your card and staying on the PGA Tour, your golf game is improving every single year.
Oh, yeah. And he's, as you said, beyond that, because he's had big finishes. He's made a boatload of money. And he did it. I don't know enough of the history to talk much about it. Not that I need to know much on the Golf with Jay Delsey show. But he didn't take a kind of a traditional big school, big name coming up through the amateur ranks and the college ranks. He just kind of did what he does now, just a little flies under the radar and then comes up and just nips the boys from time to time.
Pearl, I've got to give my friends at the Next Step a little more love. They've got this phenomenal raffle. You got to get your tickets by today. They've got three phenomenal options for golf that you can win. You heard the commercial, but I want to read their mission statement. Pearlie and I are big on mission statements, and the mission statement for the Next Step is this: to provide financial assistance for individuals who are active in recovery from substance abuse and are pursuing an academic or vocational education. Great work by these guys. Buck Callahan, Clay, guys, keep doing your thing. We really appreciate it. It's much, much, much needed in our community, and we appreciate that a lot. John, that is going to wrap up another show. We got another one in the books.
Love it, Jay. Sure enjoyed it again. Fun topics, and man, are we in the middle of golf heaven right now.
We absolutely are. I want to thank Darty Business Solutions again for being our title sponsor. And folks, we will be back next week with Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney Noonan from Folds of Honor. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Hit them straight, St. Louis. I love having Darty Business Solutions as the title sponsor of the Golf with Jay Delsing show. You already know that they're the number one largest IT consulting firm and the largest software developer in the St. Louis region. You also know that there are over 2,500 Darty teammates in 30 states and 3 countries around the world. But what you may not be aware of is what Darty Business Solutions does right here in our own community. They were the sponsor for the first Advocate PGA event at Glen Echo this past September. Darty Business Solutions was also a presenting sponsor of the Ascension Charity Classic. They have created Access Point, which builds diversity in the IT workforce. This is a game changer in our community. Literally, hundreds of mostly young African-American women are getting $50,000 to $60,000 per year jobs right out of high school. And that training begins in high school. Darty Business Solutions believes talent is equally distributed, but access to that opportunity is not. Ron Darty, our founder at Darty Business Solutions, is the chair of the 2023 Heart Ball, supporting the local American Heart Association Foundation. These are just a few examples of the positive things Darty Business Solutions is doing right now in our community.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing. To connect with Jay, log on to jdelsinggolf.com. You'll see the latest in equipment, find the latest innovations in golf, and get tips from a PGA professional. That's jdelsinggolf.com.